Okay. Welcome, everybody. Good to see all these smiling faces. I'm going to open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for everyone that is here today, Lord Jesus. For every soul, Father, that's partaking of what we're presenting today, Lord. Lord, your heavenly kingdom is vital to each and every one of us. Your presence is vital to each and every one of us, Lord. Father, that we would be fully furnished, complete, completely filled by your love, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. That our eyes would be open, that our ears would be open, that our hearts would be sensitive, Father, that our attention would be on the things of God and no longer on the things of this world, Lord. Father, I just thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given Holy Spirit to us, to walk with us, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us into all godliness, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here today as our teacher, as our confidant, as the one who sees to it that we learn the protocol of our Heavenly Father and His kingdom. That we grow up as sons and daughters, mature, weaned from the breast, able to stand on our own two feet in your presence, Lord, because of your goodness and your graciousness. Father, I just thank you for everything you've given to us and for you never leaving us, never forsaking us. In fact, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Father, and that we have an eternal habitation with you. I thank you for that and give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good, 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 isn't he? Amen. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me. We might jump around a little bit today. All right? So we're going to go to John chapter 1. You can just pull up the whole chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, John chapter 1. I'm going to ask you a question after I read this right here. Starting in verse 12. This is John talking about Jesus, okay? It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Let's just stop right there for the moment. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to shout it out, but if you do, I'll repeat it so they can get it recorded. How was Jesus born? By the Spirit. So, by what we remember that's written in the book, is that Mary was chosen, right? And then the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, right? And she became pregnant and was born of God. Or Jesus was, right? She had a baby from God, which Jesus was born, right? So Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. A miracle. How are you born again? So before you answer, let me think. Are you born again? Has a new life actually been established inside of an existing vessel with a person in it already? Has another life been established? Because there's many words that says, if you've been born again, then. So I'm not saying any of you are not born again. I want to walk through this with you. Because I want to empower you to stand against the devil in situations, okay? So I want you to be really grounded in a couple of things. That's why I'm making you think. So, did this happen in you? Think. Who were born not of blood, that means not of a human man, nor of the will of the flesh, Not some flesh and blood person decided to have a baby, so they did. Nor of the will of man, because somebody wanted you on this earth. But of God. Were you born of God? So think, how were you born of God? His Spirit? So what's the proof in you that you're no longer that flesh and blood person, but now you're a spirit? What's the proof that there's really a spirit, a living spirit person that's born of God? Because my mom and my dad in the natural, in the flesh, they bore a flesh and blood person, right? They did. There was a flesh and blood person living here in this vessel, right? There really was. And that flesh and blood person was able to think and talk and work and hug and have other babies. Okay? So then, if I got born of God and a new baby was inside of me or a new life, how do I know that life is really there, that it's even real? Because you changed, you say you acted different. What else? The Holy Spirit. So let me rephrase this so you don't sound crazy. Inside of you, there's this knowing that tells you it's true. Can I say it that way? Because somebody that's not a Christian will think you're crazy by saying that. So inside of you, there's a knowing that tells you. Pastor Trey? What do you say? Nope. Anybody else? He doesn't know. No, that's not true. I know. Barb. The whole world looks different. People look different. The world looks different. Okay. So some ghost interacts with you. Which is a ghost? Is he a Holy Ghost? He's an active spirit. And what did you say? Living inside of you. So you're possessed by a spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you looking at how I'm thinking? Okay. Okay. This is somebody that's not born again says, what? You got another baby inside of you? So this lady over here is saying that she's possessed by a spirit, and that's how she knows. Right, I am. She says the Spirit of God in her spirit, we interact with each other. But we're saying that you're born by God. So are you telling me that, I'm going to just take a little liberty here, that person that's born is a spirit? She says yes. Are you guys agreeing with me? That the person that's born inside of you from God is a spirit. You guys, I see heads nodding. Others won't risk saying anything. He what? You started feeling like God was your father. You started calling him father. Okay, Barb? Also, you had a desire to read the Bible. For Minton Williams, here you go. There you go. You had a desire to read the Bible. Yes, that is proof. A real baby is going to do what? It's going to eat. A real baby spends most all of its time doing four things. Right? And you guys all know what they are. Eat, sleep, poop, and cry. Right? That's what they do most of the time, right? So, and somebody else has to nurture them and take care of them and feed them, right? They can't do it on their own yet, right? So when you got born again, we're going to say that you got an appetite for the things of God. And you guys are saying that God's joined with you and ministering to you, and the Holy Spirit's bearing witness that you are a child of God. Is that right? Okay. So then, When something that's not of God attacks your body, is that you being attacked? The new you that's born of God that you say you are now, is that the one being attacked? Flesh, she says. Okay, here's what I do. I make you think about how you actually live. Okay? Because it's easy to say things are true, but what's really true is how you be. How you be is what you actually believe, no matter what your brain can tell me. It's how you be, right? Because you can't help but be yourself. You can't help it. And so, if sickness comes on this body, is it me that got sick? You what? Her body, she says, got sick. Do you guys agree with that? Okay, because you were given a body, right? That's you. A spirit in this earth has to have a body to have a legal right to do anything in this earth, right? It has to have a right. That's why those demons of Legion asked if they can go into the pig, because they need a body to operate through, to be in this world, right? So, your spirit is in this body, and so you possess this body. So if this body gets sick, are you getting sick? It's the spirit being attacked, she says. If your body, she just had surgery done on her hand. Did she just have surgery? You guys saying yes? Or did she have surgery done on her possession? Her possession is her body. She possesses that body. Just like a demon wants to possess a body. Your spirit possesses a body. Doesn't it? Doesn't your spirit possess this body? Okay. So, you have a body. You're not your body. You need to get a t-shirt. You need to write that on your mirror with lipstick. I have a body. I am not a body. Okay? I possess a body. Sickness can come on the body because of sin. So sin, because of sin, the body is dead. Right? And sickness can come on the body. But in Romans chapter 7, or chapter 8, it says that by the Spirit of God, mortality can come into this body and heal it. Immortality, right? So the Spirit of God can heal this flesh, right? So where's your healing at for this body? Now this is where I'm going to nail you guys. Okay, this is where I'm going to get your squirrely thinking, because of the way we talk, it's messing you up. All right? I want to get your squirrely thinking nailed down. Is your healing in your spirit? How many say yes? Raise your hand. Commit. Give a commitment. Okay, how many of you say that's not true, that your healing is in your spirit? Raise your hands. One person, two people. Ready? You are healed. You are already healed. You don't possess a spirit. You are a spirit. You possess a body. You need to let that sink in. I am a spirit. God bore me as his son. I am a rightful heir to the throne of God in Christ Jesus. I am whole. I am rich. I am a son of God. I don't need to get anything. The work has been finished before the foundations of the world. I am now seated in Christ Jesus. No longer do I need to do works. I'm more than a conqueror. What I need to do now is, this is the work of God, Jesus says in John, I think it's 14 or 15, to believe. To believe. That's the work of God, is to believe. Why? Because you already are perfect and complete, lacking nothing, Colossians says. Are you with me? But what happens is, by being in the world and around the world, we start relating to ourselves as a flesh and blood being. Do you hear me? That's the trouble. We relate as ourselves as a flesh and blood being. Do we have a flesh and blood body? Yes, I have a flesh and blood body. And I have a car, and I have a house, and I have a wife. My flesh and blood body doesn't have a wife. I have a wife. Am I getting you? Or am I nailing you down? Am I getting you to think about some things? I was born from God. So if, I'm just going to walk this through with you until we can jump into the heavy revy. If I was already alive because my mother and my father had a child, my earthly mother and my earthly father had a child. They called him Robert. He had an identity. He had a consciousness inside of him, right? That consciousness inside of him from age 0 to 7-ish, probably actually like 4, and then it starts hardening after 4 into about 7, only had one thing happening on the inside of him. That's all I had happening on the inside of me. When I was born, I had one thing happening inside of the real me, the invisible me that was inhabiting a body, right? Can you say that there was an invisible you when you were born inhabiting a body, right? Because if the body would have died, then a real you would have gone to be with the Lord, right? Even in a baby, okay? So the real me is invisible, and I was inside of this body as a baby from 0, okay? That's inception, not birth. Okay? My mother was overshadowed by my father. That's a decent way to say it, right? Y'all know what I mean. And together, they created me. At 0, I had one function only, and it wasn't a conscious function. It just was happening. And that was this. As being alive, I started recording information. I started taking in information because I was a conscience. I was alive, but I was at 0. There was nothing. So at 0, I started identifying who I was, not even knowing it. I started recording. I'm hungry. I'm sleepy. I'm tired. That sound, I know that sound. That sound, that's a good sound. And it was my mother talking to me. That's a good sound. Oh, I'm noticing I hear. What is this sound? It feels good. What is it? And oh, they're arguing. Oh, what is this sound? Oh, that feels bad. Ow. Ooh. And I'm recording all of environment. There's nothing I don't record because I'm not in charge of the recording. I'm 0 to 1. It's just happening around me. It's just going on and going in. And it's starting to form my identity of who I say I am. I don't even know how to say who I am yet. Just going in at age 1 to 2. Now this blob that was in front of my face, I'm starting to notice that it means something. And this thing that I'm starting to look at, oh, that's my mom's face. That feels good too. That face feels real good. And dad's face and dad's voice comes in. Oh, yes, that feels good too. I'm peaceful when that person holds me. I feel good. And I start recording that 2 and then 3. And I start talking and learning how to, those sounds, those sounds I'm hearing, I start mimicking those sounds that I hear. And I start thinking that I can do that, thinking that. And next thing you know, sound starts coming out of me. And laughing just comes. It just happens. As a baby, you just start laughing. It just comes. And pretty soon, as these things are impressing on me and around me and shaping me and molding me, that I don't even know they're shaping and molding me, they're just creating something in me. And it's called Robert. I'm identifying with the world around me. By four, I've pretty much, because now I know this language that I hear, and these people that are my mother and my father that aren't me. At first I thought it was me, but then I realized, no, mom's separate than me. Dad's separate than me. And I started seeing me as me. And I started noticing, and I started saying things in my heart. And then situations came up because I knew how to communicate now. So I would say, that's bad. That's good. That's bad. That's good. That hurts. No. All these things start coming into me, all being modeled to me, right? As I got older, I already had it all written down in my heart. By age 7, my identity was sealed on who I said I was. I spent the rest of my years proving my programming to be true. I was programmed by the world I was raised into. I was programmed by the parents that I had. I was programmed by the country that I lived in. I was programmed by this world, right? Then I found out that I was guilty. I found out I was shamed. I found out all these negative things that were really hard on me, and I didn't like any of it. So you know what I did? I made a fake me that I get to show to everybody else. A representative, a facade, an actor, a hypocrite. And I became an actor because I had these tapes going on the inside of me that said who I was, right? From the shame, the guilt, the condemnation, not only from the bad things that happened to me, but from the bad things I did too in response. And all that was alive inside of me. So then I decided to give you happy face. So on the outside, I became a hypocrite and started acting one way, but in the inside, believing another way. Right? And all the while, angry about the whole deal, but doing the best I can. Now, somebody told me about Jesus, and my life was like a vacuum cleaner. You all know what vacuums do. It's the S word. I don't say that preaching anymore. So when I found out that he would wash away my sins, my guilty conscience, and my shame, and that he was really God and loved me and wanted to meet him. So I set out to meet God. That's another story for my testimony. But I did, and I actually met him. I got born again. All of you say you're born again. So then what got born again inside of me? Say it louder. Spirit. A spirit person got born inside of me. So did another identity get born inside of me? How, so there's another substance of another living person inside of me. Maybe, maybe not. I know some of you, I got your attention. Ready? Let's go back again. When you got born in the natural world, all you did was what? Record, 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 record. When you get born of the Spirit, all you do is record, 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 record. Until a new revelation of who you are rises up inside of you. So is it really another person that rises up inside of you? or another life in identity. What? I can't hear you. Oh, she's not. Say again. An identity. So here's what it is. When you're got this worldly sense of who you are, because that's what's been recorded and that's what you've interacted on your five senses and your feelings, right? And you've created who you are. Now they're saying, we're going to change the rules. New input. New input. This little encapsulated thing that you said is you, I'm going to tear a hole in that and I'm going to get another form of input, which is out of the Spirit of God. And now I'm going to tell you that no, the real you is here in the Spirit. All of that, you can let it go. All of that recording was steeped in this world. Now you're Spirit. You're above this world. You're seated in the kingdom of God with God. So now you've got new senses. You have spiritual senses. You have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, a heart sensitive to the things of God, because He's the one that feeds you. He's the one that gives you life. God is your life now. So now it's a matter of getting to know your Father, being raised by the Holy Spirit, a governor and a tutor, a nursemaid, to learn how to be with your Father in heaven. Because He's with you now during this transitional period in your life. Going from a natural human being to a spiritual being. Right? You still have the natural in you, but now you've got the natural and the spiritual. Right? So now you're learning how to make this transition of all these things that were recorded and I said about myself. You're learning how to let go of that. We call it forgiving it, releasing it, letting it go. We wipe that away. And now we've got this new programming on an identity that we're learning by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and letting this tell us the truth, right? Now we can start the sermon. Do you guys, are you with me? Okay. What happens is, in the world, it wants to force you to deal with the old recording. That's dead. God moved you from there into the kingdom of God. So there's no more life in this. It serves no purpose to hold it in your heart. It serves no purpose to speak evil of yourself. It serves no purpose to sell yourself short. There's no value in it anymore. Okay? There's no value in identifying with the flesh anymore. The flesh, according to Romans chapter 8, is dead because of sin. Sin dwells in the flesh, it says in Romans chapter 7. So in your flesh is where the sin dwells. He's moved you into the Spirit. So our identity is now in the Spirit. We need to operate from a spiritual point of view. Right? Go back to the first verse I gave you. John chapter 1, verse 12. Ready? And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. He gave them power or authority. The word is exousia. Are you with me? You have been given the authority to be the child of God. That authority is given to you to overcome this world. Are you with me? Again, I'm going to go back. Are you your body? Do you have a spirit? You are spirit. God is spirit, and when he has babies, he has spirit babies, right? You're a spirit. You're just like God. Everything that Jesus has, you have. Everything Jesus got in the spirit, you got in the spirit. 100%. But you have to walk in. Oh, I see some eyes going, what? Look at this verse. Stay on this page. Can I just read a little further? I'm going to read because I need to bring this home for you. I'm going to start from 12 again, but I'm going to read down through 16. But as many as receive, that's labano, that means to take. That doesn't mean you passively just somebody hands it to you, and it doesn't mean you snatch it. It means you take it for your own. It's like this. My Bible's here. Well, it's here. And I grab a hold of it and I take it for myself. I take this for myself. I pick it up and take it for myself. So that's that word there for receive, labano. It means to take for yourself. John chapter 1. But as many as take for themselves, he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Before I go on, let me just hit this. The word become here, the right. You are given the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. This word become is great. It's the cause to be. Cause to be. As many as take this to cause to be sons of God. I know this is hard for some of you. This is exciting though. In other words, if you'll believe it, you're allowed to be it. If you believe it, you're allowed to be the Son of God. It says, as many as take him, to them he gave the power or authority or right to cause to become, to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You were born of God. Okay, I just got to pause. I'm trying to get to someplace. Listen, being born of God. Is God good? Is God your Father? Does your life come from God? Is knowing him eternal life? Is that right? All that's true, right? Okay, settle that down. So, if you're sick, what's happening? Somebody jump out and shout. I'm going to keep going back and forth. We're playing ping pong here. What's happening if you're sick? Huh? There's a spirit. You're under attack. Okay, ready? Wrong! You can't be sick. You're a spirit. You can't be sick. Is there sickness in the kingdom of God? Where are you seated? In the kingdom, in heavenly places. Okay? The mistake we make, and it's just so subtle, is we think we're our body. We think we're our body. I'm going to hit you with this back and forth. I'm going to take you off the path, get you back to being normal, and then I'm going to slam you in the face again. All right? No, I need to slam you in the face. You know why? You need to be shaken, because these lies that are accepted because of the way we talk to each other are actually conveying something that's not true, which robs you of your authority to operate as you truly are. Because it's subtle, but it's a lie. Are you with me? So, God takes good care of his kids. Okay, he does. And so he's raising us up, raising us up, raising us up. So, I have to cause to be his son. I got a responsibility to believe God. I was talking to Betty Jean earlier, you know, about finances. Can I share? If she cries, don't pay any attention to her. I love you. We're talking about this, about it'd be nice to be wealthy, right? It would be nice to be wealthy. But do you got to ask God to be rich? Some people think you do. Some people say that God says some people are going to be rich and some people are going to be poor and some people are going to be middle class, and that's just your lot in life and that's the cards that were dealt to you. That's your hand. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says that he has given you power to get wealth. It says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. He likes that when you're rich. He gives you the power to do that. But that's in the earth. So you're allowed to be as rich as you want to be. You're allowed to. He's giving you the power to do it. Just exercise your brain, figure out how to do it, what to do, and go be rich if you want to be rich. But you got to put the energy into it. You've got the right, the authority to become rich if you want to be. You've got the right and authority to walk as a child of God on the earth right now, if you want to. It's your right. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know he's talking about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 14. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" So he's saying, he's talking of Jesus' deity, that he was before he became a flesh and blood man. Look at 16. Look at this. I'm shaking and I got goosebumps right now. I'm buzzing like a bee right now on the inside. "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." Of Jesus' fullness we have all received. "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." If that's true, what excuse do we have? One only. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Because I am so desensitized to the truth of the spiritual realm. Because I so magnify the reality of a natural flesh and blood person on the earth, that I'm hard-hearted against this truth that of his fullness I've received. I can't accept it. Of being spirit and everything that he is, I am, I can't accept it. The Bible may say it, but I can't accept it because my heart is hard. I'm not sensitive to that information. I'm not paying attention to that. It hasn't got my undistracted attention as to who I am yet. The world and my emotions and my past and the way people treat me, all that's got my attention. So I will say this is true. I will go to my grave saying this will true. But that doesn't mean I actually am operating in it, because I don't believe it yet. Okay? So here's the thing. We have to press into it. We have to renew our minds, the Bible says. That we have to actually change our point of view. From the point of view of an earth person to the point of view of God. I'm glad you agree with me. How much time have I got left? 6 hours? Perfect. Ready? So, let me just go on. Okay, so we have, of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace, right? So now, Lord, where do I go with this? All right, let me just jump forward for you. 1 Peter 2:24, we know that verse a lot. Ready? 1 Peter 2:24. Whom himself, this is Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Stop. Why did he do that? Go ahead, I can't hear you. What? Because we couldn't. One says. Anything else? Because sin had to be dealt with in the earth, right? Sin had to be erased, and the only way to erase it is someone's got to die, right? If a human sins, if a person sins, they have to die, as far as God's concerned. He's holy, he's righteous, he's pure, he's true, he's just. If somebody sins, you got to die. That's just all there is to it. Even if it's a little white lie, if you sin, you die. Pastor Trey shared that with us. You break any of the Ten Commandments, you die. You deserve to die. And when judgment comes, you die. Okay? So Jesus took your death for you. He took a beating for you, a whipping for you. He got his face smashed in for you. He got crowns of thorns pierced his brain for you, his mind for you. He had to carry his own cross up there on that hill to be crucified, to where he hung on the tree so that you can have eternal life. This is important because the devil would like us to forget that when sickness comes on our body. The devil would like us to think that we need to do something to get health back again. That we need to do something because God won't just heal us. Doesn't that thought come in people's minds? Right? Oh, you guys are going to hate me. You're going to hate me. Ready? Breaks. Where does healing come? Yes! Give that girl a gold star. I got you trapped again, didn't I? I got you thinking a certain way, a way according to no authority and no righteousness and no knowledge of who you are. Okay? You can't get sick. You are forever spirit. We got to work on this. You got to work on this. I am spirit. I am as God is. God is my Father. He bore me. I'm just like my dad. Jesus is my brother, the Bible says. I'm a co-heir with him. Right? He got the big portion of the inheritance, as Pastor Trey talked about last night. But we get our inheritance too. Right? When he comes, he's bringing his gifts with us, with him. He is. You're going to get your inheritance as a child of God. So what do you do when you get sick? Claim healing? What? There you go. I don't get sick. Say that again. Correct. Your body can get sick. How does healing come to your body? Some people say surgery and narcotics or antibiotics. No, some people do. Some people think surgery, antibiotics, and narcotics. Those are the ways. That's one way. That is a way for a physical body to get some resolve. But do you know what medical science has proven? They can't do anything to heal you. Your body does it on its own. All they can do is make you more comfortable or stitch you up. When your guts are hanging out, they can shove them back in again and stitch you up so that your body can recover from that. Right? If your arm breaks, they can cast it so that it can heal. Why? Why? Because the life is in your body. The life of healing is already in your body. You are life. But your body has life in it too, because that life of that body is in the blood, right? And so it naturally will heal itself because the life of the body is in the blood. That's not you though. That's your possession. You have another life. You have a spiritual life. Guess what? That life supersedes, is a higher law than the life that's in the blood, which will heal your body. In other words, gravity makes me walk on the earth, right? Gravity, for what we call gravity, makes me walk on the earth. Okay? But the law of aerodynamics lets an airplane fly above the earth. It's a higher law, right? That doesn't void this law, but it's a higher law. I can walk, or I can get in a plane and fly, right? You can drive, or you can get in a plane and fly. So by getting your body in a position to where doctors and medicine and pain relievers lets your body naturally heal, it'll do that. Or you can come from the spirit and heal it from the spirit, because there's a law that's greater than the natural law. Right? So whatever one you choose to operate from is the one you get. Who decides? Does God decide if your body gets healed or not supernaturally? Huh? He already decided. What'd you say?
I decide.
You decide. That's right. Who did he give rights to? Me and you. So you know the word righteousness? You know that word righteousness in the Bible? That we became the righteousness of God because Jesus took our sins upon him. Just like it says right here in 2:24, if I read it, it says, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. Having died to sin, we live for righteousness. By whose stripes? You are healed. What's living for righteousness? I've quoted this 3 times. I'm just going to go back to it again. Go with me real quickly so I can leave you hanging for another week or two. Romans chapter 8. With me? Romans chapter 8 says there's no condemnation for those who walk according to the flesh, right? How many think that's right? Raise your hands. Couple of you. That's wrong. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You walk according to the life of God, there's no condemnation in you. You know how you can tell if you're walking according to the life of God? If there's condemnation in you, you're not. Real test right there. If shame and guilt and inferiority and all that is hitting you, you're walking according to the flesh, not the Spirit. Your identity has shifted over to the old man instead of the Spirit. But if you walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. Why? Jesus died on the tree for it all. Right? Going on. So look at this in verse 10. I'm just going to jump. I hope you guys know chapter 8. It's a pretty popular chapter. In other words, you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. Right? You have life and peace if you do. So it says, and if Christ is in you, which you all say he is, the body is dead because of sin. Right? So this body is dead. It's like this. It's like this. If I go to an apple tree and I see this beautiful apple and I see that tree and I see that apple, is that apple alive? It's alive, isn't it? As soon as I pick it, is it alive? Hmm? It lost its lifeblood once you pick it. That's what she said. Still looks good, tastes good, but in dying, it will surely die. It's dying now. It's dying. Now, as soon as I pick it, does it still have life in it? Oh, sure, it has some residual, but it's dying. And if you just leave it, it will surely rot and go right to dust, won't it? Because in dying, it will surely die. Okay? So this flesh is dying. It will surely die. That's why you relocate out of the flesh into the spirit, because that's eternal, right? Because the flesh will die because of sin. It will die. But you're not your body. You're your spirit. And since it's your possession, you have authority over it. It doesn't tell you what's true. It tells you what it's going through. But it doesn't tell you what's true. It tells you what it is experiencing. But you have authority over it. If you'll exercise the authority. Most of us go up against it and we stop. We hit on it, and it's not responding. And we quit and we do this. God, don't we? And that's good, because the Holy Spirit said He's with us. He's going to teach us. He's going to show us. He's going to train us. So that's good. We can ask Him, Holy Spirit, what do I do next? Not, Holy Spirit, you need to solve this problem. Which is actually true, but it's so commingled, it's us together doing it. Righteousness. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is life. And we agree with that. But it's because of righteousness. Christ made us righteous. Christ made us righteous. Christ made us righteous. I didn't make Christ made you righteous. So because of that, your spirit has life. Because Christ made you righteous. Christ made you righteous. Christ made you righteous. Because you're righteous, you have life in the Spirit. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's because of righteousness you have life, eternal life, because of righteousness. Sink that in. Boom, 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 boom. When sickness comes to your body, I don't get sick. I don't get sick. So it takes some time teaching my body that I don't get sick. And if I believe that I don't get sick, my body won't get sick. This is hard. I know it is. But it takes faith. It takes believing God. It takes a new programming. I don't get sick. I got to teach my body that I don't get sick. Body, you respond. Body, you heal. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? You want me to drink water? Okay, I'll drink more water. Body, I don't get sick. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to think good thoughts? Oh, that's hard for me, because you don't know the life I was raised in. You don't know how they treated me. You don't. So stop all that. Think good thoughts. You got these problems because you're thinking bad thoughts. Think good thoughts. Your thinking was wrong. It was the old way. There's death in that. Now you got life in life, life, life. I have to wrap it up, so I'm going to say this last thing and just leave you going, oh. All right? But you need to think on this stuff. Get the tape. Go over it. What does it mean to be righteous? God's kind of righteousness. The word righteous means, it's like diakosune. That's not the right pronunciation, but it translates equity. That's how it translates equity, which means equal. Jesus paid for this flesh with His blood. He paid for it. Not with silver and gold did He buy this, but He bought it with His blood. You agree, He died on the cross for you? So He paid for this body. In doing that, there's no debt left here. There's no debt on this body. So all the equity is in you. Because there's no debt. In other words, if you've got a mortgage on a house, the part that is not debt is equity. Are you with me? It has a value. The value of something is, how do you discern the value of something? Say, I want to know what this is worth. Huh? What you're willing to give. Yes, that's actually true. The way you determine a value is what someone's willing to pay for it. That's how you determine value on everything, is what someone is willing to pay for it. That's how you determine the value, no matter what it is. It's what someone's willing to pay. Now, you can say, listen, I'm selling a car and it's worth $38,000 to me. And I'll say, you just keep it then. To me, it's worth $26,000. Okay? And they look for somebody that thinks the value of it is the same as they think it is. And then they do a transaction, right? We come to an agreement. The value of you is what Jesus was willing to pay, determined your value. Not what your mother told you, not what your father told you, not what your schoolmates told you. It's what Jesus paid, determined your value. And he paid it all and more. Therefore, equity, you are paid for. There's no debt on you. You don't owe God anything. Let that sink in. You don't owe God anything. You owe him everything. He completely did it all. He did. He brought you there. He's raising you. He gave you life. He did it all. So listen. I have to believe him and lay hold of it and become a son of God. Oh, if you die, if your flesh expires, you'll go to be with the Lord. I'm talking about now in this earth. To manifest the things of God, you have to believe. I'm going to tell you a truth that you may not understand. Ready? Wherever you are, there you are. Wherever you are, there you are. That's really important. That you can say it in the world, you know. You can say it in the world, but I'm telling you, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. Whatever you believe is what you believe. Who you think you are is who you think you are. And when you get there, I mean with a sober opinion of yourself, not some lofty, idealistic thing, but your sober assessment of yourself is exactly who you're going to be when you stand face to face with the Lord. Because you still carry your belief systems with you. So it behooves us now to walk in this power and authority by a gift of God, by the Holy Spirit, and start practicing, pressing in, and laying hold of it. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm going to quit now. After I pray, do you have a word, Pastor Trey? Okay, let me pray, and then we'll get your word. Ready? So now we're going to practice pressing in. Okay? You got to have the practical with you. So you have spiritual eyes, you have spiritual ears, you have a heart that can understand, right? But your spirit... So our spirit is going to connect with God. Ready? So we're going to pray, and as I pray, connect with your Heavenly Father. Come to his throne of grace. Interact with God, who's your Father, so that he can show you what to do, so that he can tell you what to do, and then you do it as a son or a daughter. Sounds really simple. Many, many people don't do it, though. They don't do this one part. So, if there's a sickness in your body, okay? If there's a problem in your life, if there's a desire in your heart, take that before God and talk to him about it and let him tell you. Can you guys hear his voice? Yes. And if you don't think you can hear God's voice, I'll give you a quick little test so you can prove you can. Would you like that? For those times when you don't think you hear God's voice? Say this, not vocally, just when it's in your time. God, what are you saying that I don't want to hear? What are you saying that I don't want to hear? Because a lot of us pray through idols. We have a desire. We want it to go a certain way, but the Spirit of God's ain't moving that way. So we can't hear because he's not saying it's okay to go that way. So when we ask, Lord, what am I not hearing you say? Then he can tell you whatever it is and get you back on track. So then you say, so then what should I do? And let him lead you, okay? Baby steps. Come back to the small stuff. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Get back to one with one walking us through this stuff, okay? Because your body is not you. It's a possession you possess. You are spirit, which is life, because of righteousness. You've been made the righteousness of God. That not of yourself. It's a gift from God. So use it. You lay hold of it by the authority that's given to you to walk this out. You will be tested in the world. It will resist you. So go for it. Let it resist, but keep pressing in until you succeed. And after you succeed a while, it moves out of the way much, much quicker. Like a little child, it'll test you. One swat on the butt, though, let's go, whoa, they're serious. Right? And then pretty soon, you don't have to keep doing that discipline because they're trained. The world to be trained. Jesus I know and Paul I know. Does it know you? I love you guys. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the principles of the kingdom of God. I thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. So, Father, you've given us the right to become sons and daughters of God because we believe you. We believe you that you made us this very thing, Lord Jesus. We believe you that you moved us from a natural position in the earth to a heavenly position in your kingdom. We believe you. We believe you that you made us righteous. That you've given us even footing with you in the kingdom of God. That we're allowed to operate in life, in love, in prosperity, in peace. We're allowed to have great, wonderful lives and to share the goodness of God and this wonderful quality of life with the people around us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to teach us and to train us as our ears and our eyes are open to your leading on how to walk out of these old beliefs and mindsets that we are our body and that we don't have power and that we are separate from God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to quicken scriptures to us. Tell us in our mind and in our hearts, scriptures we need to read and ponder on and meditate on and study and rehearse and just really make it our own. That we can have strength to stand in our hour of temptation. So that we have strength to press through in the moments of confusion and chaos, being confronted by things that don't line up with the kingdom of God. Father, let us do this in a spirit of love. Father, you have given us our seat in Christ in a place of rest. Let us labor to enter that rest, Lord, that there is no fight, that we are healed, that it's a position we've gotten already, Lord. And when pain comes, Father, teach us to deal with that, how to remove that pain by speaking life, by telling it to leave, by meaning it when we say it, because the revelation that we are spirit and not our bodies is true. Father, I ask you that you would bring up inside of us the reality of being one with you. And that, Holy Spirit, we would acknowledge you, be aware of you, walk with you, live with you, cling to you as you teach us and show us who we are in Christ. Holy Spirit, let us not walk on our own, but quicken us, shake us, tug on us. Do something, Holy Spirit, to let us know that you're with us so we can refocus our attention, get in alignment with you, and walk in that dynamic power that you have endued us with. Father, I ask that every weapon, every lie of the devil, every material thing that tries to distract us from who we are, I ask that you give us the intestinal fortitude to cast it off and throw it down and become over our situation, submitted to the position you've given us as righteous before you. And I ask you, Father, that this would become the solid truth of who we are in us, that we can walk in the genuineness of the life of God wherever we go upon this earth. And I thank you for it, and I trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.